buddy Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks. Tom engineering and producing the show on the other side of the glass. The day after, Wednesday, November the 4th, 2020. Tom, a few moments ago, it would have still been what you could say. Now, of course, we're into the afternoon, but it would be the morning after.
Is that my cue?
That's your cue. a song, I think, would be appropriate.
There's got to be a morning after. If we can
Maureen
hold
McGovern,
on through the night.
I believe she passed away recently. Could be wrong about that.
Now, do you have a history, a background on this tune, where it's from or anything?
The theme from The Poseidon Adventure, 1972.
So no matter how topsy-turvy our world gets, there's always a morning after.
Yeah.
All right.
Folks may be local Republicans here in Pima County, maybe feeling they are on definitely a sinking ship after what we saw here in Pima County. It's Buckmaster on 1030 Tucson's Voice for Trusted News Talk Worldwide Live Listening. It's available anywhere in the world at buckmastershow.com. We piggyback the live feed from kvoi.com. The Buckmaster Show Live Line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Let's go now on the live line to Tim Steller, fairly recently named Arizona newspaper columnist of the year. Tim, how are you?
I'm tired. How are you?
Pretty tired, all stressed out. But very interesting things happen, of course, nationally. There was the hope among Democrats there would be a blue wave, even a blue tsunami. To some extent, certainly that happened in Pima County and Maricopa County. However, all the votes are not in, as the governor put out a news release a few minutes ago, reminding folks there are several hundred thousand votes still to be counted.
Yeah, it is more uncertain than I thought it was. Based on now, I'm seeing Von Hilliard of NBC. He posted the number of votes that are outstanding, and it's more than we thought. He said there appears to be 600,000 uncounted Arizona ballots left, and Joe Biden is ahead by about 94,000. So it's a lot to make up, but it's not even apparently Trump would have to win about 60% to win 60% of the remaining votes. So that's not impossible. That's possible. It depends a lot on where they're from, and the categories, the locations, provisional ballots are a big part of that, and those tend to go Democratic. But if they're from an area that goes Republican, who knows?
Historic turnout in Arizona and here in Pima County. Tim, this is something totally unexpected, I think, for Republicans who spent a lot of money this time putting up billboards, doing some radio advertising, a very aggressive campaign for Republicans. And what did it get them? Well, basically, Steve Christie, Pima County Supervisor, the Republican, on the board, that's it. That's about it.
I mean, and that's not a gain. That's just an incumbent narrowly winning reelection, apparently. Locally, the story here in Tucson is a complete wipeout of Republicans, it appears. Now, the one race that may be too close but probably isn't is Rex Scott, the Democrat, winning over Steve Spain, the Republican, in Pima County Supervisor District 1. The winner, of course, replaces Allie Miller, and that would be an upset, but not as big an upset as it appears, because Democratic registration had been increasing quite a bit in that area. Apparently, Republicans were ahead by only 3,000 registered voters in that district ahead of Democrats. So I talked to David Eppenheimer, the Pima County GOP chair, and he was, of course, quite discouraged. He said it's just, you know, the registration advantages that are killing of the Democrats are killing the Republican chances, and independents as well were going Democratic in Pima County, he said.
Getting to the McSally-Kelly race, McSally just did not resonate, Tim Steller, put it mildly, with Republicans. That's a race where I don't know how many Republicans might have just not even filled in that one.
Yeah, there's a lot of unhappiness with her on the part of the Kelly Ward wing of the Republican Party. I think most of those people held their noses and voted for McSally, but it makes a difference if some portion doesn't. And, you know, one thing that I think all of us in Tucson, or many of us, look at and just marvel at is who she became. Now, maybe we didn't understand who she was when she was first running for election in Pima County or in Congressional District 1. But, you know, when she made a very abrupt turn and went from being a so-called pragmatic, moderate Republican representing Congressional District 2, I mean, I think I said CD1, she made an abrupt turn, and I think it was late 2018, and went with Trump, whom she had said she didn't even vote for, or she wouldn't confirm that she voted for him. She was a different person. You know, she ran in 2018. I'm sorry, it was 2017 when she made that turn. She ran in 2018, essentially accusing Kyrsten Sinema of treason. And then in 2020, you know, it was essentially a similar argument, calling Mark Kelly a traitor, more or less. She didn't use that word for his relationship with China. And people just didn't like that. You know, enough of that. It's a treason, traitor. You know, it's the same formula. It's tiresome and it's ugly.
Yeah, she certainly changed. I don't know who her consultants were, but they really, really misread Arizona. You know, for folks who are so happy they don't have to look at these TV ads and hear the ads right now, pretty soon you're going to be hearing for the U.S. Senate, it's not over because the incumbent now, the senator-elect, Mark Kelly, has to run again in 2 years because this is the John McCain seat.
Right. So 2022 is when McCain would have been running for re-election.
Right.
Had he not passed away, is it a year ago now or 2 years ago?
About 2 years.
2 years, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's we go back to our regular schedule, our regular election schedule in 2022. And so Kelly is up then. And of course, the talk has long been that Governor Ducey will try to run for that seat. We'll see if that happens. But Kelly is going to have a short turnaround on, you know, seeking reelection. He's going to have to be really careful to kind of maintain the support that he's had so far.
All right. Tim, what did you find? And I will be asking our other news folks. We have Luigi Del Puerto coming up after the break. He's going to go over the legislative look, and that's going to be an interesting situation because you've got a split House, and then a Republican, barely a Republican majority. But Tim, what did you find most interesting? What's the takeaway from this election in Pima County?
Oh well, yeah, it's just the solid consolidation of Democratic control. You know, there are Republicans who have won here countywide elections for a long time, even though the Democrats have had larger registration numbers for a long time. So, for example, Beth Ford has the Republican who has been treasurer for a while. She appears to be losing to Democrat Brian Bickle. Mark Napier, the Republican sheriff who ousted Chris Nanos last election, had a lot, I thought, of bipartisan support. He's worked hard to be to run, you know, as a pragmatic, nonpartisan Republican, and yet Nanos appears to have pulled off the victory. And, you know, there's a lot of there's a likelihood that there was a reaction against Trump at the top of the ticket that really hurt candidates further down, like these moderate, pragmatic Republicans in Pima County.
All right, Tim Steller, thank you very much. We're going to hear some more local reaction at the bottom of the hour. Jim Nintzel and Dylan Smith will be joining us next up. We'll take a look at the state legislative situation. Tim, I hope you have a good rest of the day. Maybe you can get a nap somewhere.
No, going to be okay. Writing. Thank you, Bill.
Okay, thank you very much. Tim Steller from the Arizona Daily Star, columnist of the year, according to the newspaper publishers here in Arizona. All right, the votes are in, and it won't take much guessing. My favorite bakery in town wins out always, hands down, Mona's Danish Bakery. Mona's has lots of friends in the community. They weren't on the ballot, but if they had been, believe me, they would be a big winner today. Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle, northeast corner Swan and Sunrise. They're open right now. Still doing breakfast, but of course lunch is being served. Some tables indoors and plenty of room outdoors. Online orders, pickups are welcome. Thanksgiving's around the corner, believe it or not. What, about 3 weeks or so? So you can start putting in your orders for dinner rolls, pies, and the like at Mona's. They're open Monday through Saturday, 6:30 a.m. to 5 p.m., Sundays 7 to 2. I'll see you at Mona's, northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise. It's the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. We'll be right back with a look at the state legislature after this.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is in the process of developing a new 20-year regional transportation plan, and soon will consider which projects best address transportation needs across the greater Tucson region. As part of its ongoing public outreach, the RTA invites your early input on which projects meet regional goals. Learn more about plan development and provide input at rtanext.com.
Hello, I'm Jeanette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at VeroAmorePizza.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock-full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Here at Bon Voyage Travel, we encourage you to keep the travel spark alive by exploring the world through our weekly webinar series that includes inspiration and insight from some of the top leaders in the travel industry. When you're ready to plan your next adventure, know that Bon Voyage Travel will be here to advise and assist. Join us every Wednesday at 3 p.m. for a new virtual destination discovery. While we're apart, let's keep dreaming together. Visit bvtravel.com for more information.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. We are breaking down the election results. Still quite a few votes are outstanding in Arizona. Let's go now to Phoenix on the live line, which is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management, award-winning journalist Luigi Del Puerto, who oversees the newsroom of the Arizona Capital Times. Luigi also manages the business units of Arizona News Service. Luigi, how are you?
I got maybe like 3 hours of sleep.
Oh, pretty good.
So I guess I'm good.
Yeah, that's pretty good. I'm hearing anywhere from 400,000 to 600,000 votes still outstanding, ballots still outstanding.
That's kind of what we're hearing as well. It's really difficult to figure out how many votes are left uncounted. You know, the Secretary of State's office has asked the counties to provide them with those numbers as soon as possible. But it's not a requirement. And so because it's not a requirement, we don't really have a full picture of how many votes are left uncounted. And that is, in fact, the biggest question here. How many votes are left counted? Because we don't know the total number. It's almost impossible to kind of model out what the, how those votes would break. And so it's really difficult to kind of say, all right, this race is over, because we just don't have a clear idea how many votes are left to be counted yet at this point.
So we have, from what I understand in the legislature, let's break down the 2020 Arizona legislative balance of power. Are you seeing a tie in the House 30-30?
In the Senate, it seems like we're heading that way. And in the House, there is a potential that we could also see a tie. But again, it's really difficult to predict at this point. We started out the early results started out showing a Democratic surge. Now, that was early on, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock last night. We saw the Democrats like way ahead. And then Republicans slowly caught up. And you know, if you had slept at 1 o'clock in the morning today, you were thinking that the Democrats are ahead in some of these key races, like, A.J. Cordugo in Legislative District 17, for example, or, Coral Evans out there in Legislative District 6. Well, at 2:30 p.m. around, that time, 2:30 a.m., sorry, around that time, we saw Brenda Barton caught up in a Legislative District 6. So now we have two Republicans up top. J.D. Messner, who's been trailing all throughout the night, is now ahead in Legislative District 17 for the Senate seat. Paul Boyer has also caught up. And so it's pins and needles for some of these races.
Yeah, and I think the blue wave certainly happened here in Pima County and to a large extent in Maricopa County. But we are seeing, as you say, this kind of a Republican a late surge right now. So do you think, is it possible that we could have a tie in both the House and the Senate?
I'm going to paraphrase what the pollster Paul Bent said a couple of days ago. That is the most 2020 thing that could ever happen, right? We see a tie in both the Senate and in the House. Look, it is a real possibility. But it's still, I don't want to say exactly that it's still early in the count. It's not early in the count. But there's a lot of votes still left to be counted. Plausibly, that could happen. And it could happen also that Republicans end up still dominating the House. Well, we know we can kind of anticipate that in Legislative District 28, where Kate Brophy McGee, the Republican incumbent, is trying to defeat Democratic candidate Kristen Marsh. That race has tightened up a little bit over the last couple hours, but Kristen Marsh is way ahead. She's 5 points ahead, 5-6 points ahead at this point. So it might be difficult for Kate Brophy McGee to catch up. So we can kind of see that, that seat is probably lost for the Republicans. The other seats, however, we just have to wait. And that's the really difficult part, right? It's waiting.
Yes, it is. Can I ask you a little bit about the session that will be coming up in January? Are you hearing, Luigi, that this will be a virtual session?
I have not heard that it's going to be a virtual session. I have not heard that it's going to be an in-person session. I do think that a virtual session is something that both Fan and Bowers tried to do, and to a certain extent, they were able to succeed to do that for some members. They do have the capability to do a virtual session. The problem then is, what about transparency? What about citizen engagement? What about public hearings and making sure that everybody can be heard. It's such a dramatic shift to the way things are done that, there's going to be added pressure, and I think that's going to come from the conservative Republicans, to actually hold the session in person.
Luigi Del Puerto is with us from the Arizona Capital Times. All right, we have Mark Kelly, who will be the U.S. Senate senator-elect in this state, and he will have to stand for election in 2 years. Let me put you on the spot. Who do the Republicans turn to go against Kelly? Do you think that the governor might be interested in that?
Well, if you look at the so-called potential candidates for governor on the Republican side, they're all also potential candidates for the U.S. Senate. So, yes, you can think of the governor potentially as running for the U.S. Senate. His office has consistently given the impression that he doesn't really want to be a part of a legislative body, that he wants to be an executive. And the governor's position is perfect for the kind of temperament that he has. But you do have other names, Matt Salmon, for example, Kelly Ward again, Karen Robeson, who's on the Board of Regents, whose profile has been elevating the past 2 years or so. The question is that, there's always the possibility that it's somebody that's not in the political scene, somebody who, it's somebody who is well known maybe in the business industry, but not in the political world. The Republicans have always had this advantage, if you will, of having a deep bench. They can look around and they have a lot of options for statewide races.
All right, Luigi, before we let you go, it is going to be very interesting to see how these votes stack up. And again, anywhere from 400,000 to 600,000 votes, ballots. We don't have any idea, really. Are they Maricopa County? Are they rural counties? We really don't have any idea where they are.
Well, yeah, that's, you're absolutely right, Bill. That's the, that's a difficult question. So this is what we know and what we anticipated, because this is what the pollsters and the pundits and the strategists have told us, right? They told us that you're going to see Democrats win the early ballots. You're going to see the Republicans catch up. And then the question then becomes, the people who have the early ballots, right, that they did not mail those early ballots in. They held on to them and then dropped them off at the, you know, on election day. The question is, how are those folks voting? Are they the so-called shy Trump voter? Are they supporters of the president that did not feel confident in mailing in their ballots? Or are they, let's say, the younger Democrats? And you know, younger folks and that have a more progressive bent, if you will, and they wanted to have that experience of actually going to the polls on election day. So they have their mail-in ballot, but they want to participate physically in that process.
All right, Luigi, gonna have to run. Luigi Del Puerto from the Arizona Capital Times. Thank you, Luigi.
Thank you, Bill.
Hello, I'm Jeanette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Noble Hops in Oro Valley is now open to welcome guests for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Noble Hops menu items are available for you, your family, and friends. So check out Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and on the web at noblehopspub.com.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, the day after election 2020, with still quite a few questions. The vote being nowhere near final nationally, and there's some big questions here in Arizona as well. We are in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Green Things, your go-to nursery, 3384 East River Road for everything green. Beautiful plants available for you on their 13-acre site, home to Zocalo as well. Zocalo and all that great merchandise from Mexico, Latin America, and Europe. So it's greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com for more information. All right, let's go now on the live line as we try to take a deep dive into what happened here in Pima County and Arizona. With us on one of the live lines, by the way, our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management, we have Jim Nintzel, the executive editor of the Tucson Weekly. Jim, how are you this afternoon?
I'm a little tired, but
who
I'll
isn't?
Put my shoulder to the wheel for the rest of the day.
And yeah, there you go. Soldier on, buddy. Soldier on. Let's also welcome on one of the other live lines, Dylan Smith, the editor, publisher, Tucson Sentinel. How are you, Dylan?
I'm doing pretty good. There's enough coffee at my house to keep me moving along on what is now March 248th.
Yeah, the days have run into one another, and who knows where we are. We don't know where we are as far as ballots outstanding, anywhere from 400,000 to 600,000, Dylan and Jim. And depending on which news service you look at, Arizona is still considered by some a toss-up state. Some of your thoughts, Dylan?
From what I'm hearing and talking to various people and campaigns around the state, we have somewhere between 400 and 450,000 ballots that are left to be possibly counted. A lot of those need to be verified, and so that might not be all of them. I think some of the larger numbers that we're hearing from some of the national news organizations, we have folks that maybe are adding up what should be a breakdown of votes. You know, when we, like here in Pima County, we have something right in the range of 50 to 55,000 ballots that are still needing to be verified and counted. And of those, somewhere between 18 and 20 are provisional ballots. And I think some of the correspondents that maybe aren't too familiar with how things work in Arizona are adding those numbers together. Mm-hmm. Rather than realizing the provisionals are included in the count of total votes remaining. Needless to say, there are a whole lot of votes still left to count, no matter which number you accept as true. And there's a reason that at the Sentinel we have yet to make any sort of call for who's winning Arizona as far as the presidential and senatorial races are going. There are some healthy leads there for Biden and Mark Kelly. But there are plenty of votes still left. And as we saw, the pattern, as Luigi was discussing, a whole lot of the people who voted late were Republicans. Day of voting across the state and even here in Pima County, we saw a 2-to-1 advantage for Republicans showing up to vote at the polls on Election Day. So we got to be very careful about, painting an incorrect picture of who's ahead right now. Some of these things we don't really know, but a lot of the Pima County races we do.
And Jim Nintzel, one thing we do know, there was a blue, and I think we can call it a tsunami here in Pima County. Jim, when you look at this, other than Steve Christie, who beat Steve Diamond for the to keep his seat on the board of the Pima County Supervisors, at this point anyway, he's the only Republican winning.
And, of course, he's running in a district that's heavily Republican.
Right.
So he has that fundamental advantage built into his playing field. But, I think we did see Democrats do really well in Pima County last night. We still don't have a count on how many ballots are outstanding in Pima County. I don't know if Dylan has an idea of what that number is. I understand they're still trying
somewhere to around 50,000, I'm told.
How 50,000?
Yeah, somewhere around that. So it possibly some of these, you know, very narrow races could shift here, but it was a very good night for the Democrats in Pima County. Jim's very correct about that.
And you know, we'll see, you know, we don't know whether those are what districts those are in or anything like that. So, you know, we're just going to have to be patient and watch that. Watch how that goes, but it certainly looks good for Rex Scott right now. That upset in district one. We talked about that previously on your show, Bill. We talked about the chances that Rex Scott might actually be able to upset Steve Spain in that Republican district where Allie Miller was giving up her seat. You know, that was a district that had gone blue in 2018 in the Senate race, U.S. Senate race, between Kirsten Sinema and Martha McSally, as well as several of those statewide races that Democrats won. And Rex Scott certainly was very bullish on his own chances in that district. And, you know, he had a larger lead in the evening. As Dylan said, the turnout on Election Day favored Republicans, but it wasn't enough to put Spain over the top. And now we're just going to wait and see how those final votes get counted over the next few days. But we certainly have fewer outstanding votes than we've had in the past, I think, because of that push to put Democrats to turn in their ballots early. However, that does mean we don't know exactly how things are going to trend here, because in the past they've trended towards Democrats. But with all the early ballots getting turned in, that may not hold up. So, you know, it's a wait and see thing, but it could very well be four Democrats on the Pima County Board of Supervisors, which we hadn't seen in a long time. And as you said, the sheriff is certainly struggling. And, you know, I think Mark Kelly and the Kelly camp are feeling pretty confident about where he's at. There was a lot of controversy about Fox calling that race as early as they did last night, as well as the AP calling it earlier. And so, you know, we're going to have to wait and see. But I think if Martha McSally does end up losing this race, I think Tim Esteller was right. She really veered to the right at some point. It cost her the 2018 race. And I don't think she had much room to move back to the center for her 2020 race. You know, she sort of had to dance with the partners that brung her, and that was a very conservative approach to her campaign, which I don't think served her well. But, you know, we could find out that she's going back. So I guess maybe we're a little premature in having this conversation.
Dylan and Jim, to give some historic perspective, the last time a Democrat was in District Number 1, the Pima County Supervisorial District, was 1972, nearly 50 years ago. Either of you gentlemen know who that was?
I'm going to guess Ron Asta.
That is correct. It was Ron Asta, who had a very troubled tenure in politics.
He did, and eventually moved over to the Republican Party, and moved away from his early political convictions. Not that that served him well in his future political efforts.
And we should mention in the other district, it's despite Christie at least for the moment having the lead, it's very noteworthy that Steve Diamond is making this such a close race. This is a district where Democrats haven't even run in the past couple of decades.
That's true.
Even
that's
token
true.
Candidates.
Yes.
So to see, you know, what for the moment is a 5-point race and seems like it'll hold up to have the incumbent Republican hang on, to see it that close when the Democrats have not even bothered it within that district, which is basically eastern Pima County and some of southern Pima County down around Green Valley. It was Ray Carroll's seat forever and ever.
All right, gentlemen.
Different.
Gentlemen, stick around. I've got a lot more for you in segment number 4 on the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. Our guests, Jim Nintzel and Dylan Smith, on the live lines. The live lines presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. We'll take the break right here. Be back with Jim and Dylan. I've got a lot more for them. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Reed Park Zoo is now open for wildlife walks, a modified guest experience prioritizing safety. To find out more about all the changes and the new safety precautions now in place, visit reedparkzoo.org. The community-approved 10-year master plan ensures your zoo's future is brighter than ever before. We've missed you, and so have the animals. They're waiting to welcome you back to the Reed Park Zoo.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. In preparation for developing a new 20-year regional transportation plan, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for the draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops, craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Well, I don't know about you, but many of you are probably dreaming of a chance to get away, and Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, is patiently waiting for you to return, and the state of New Mexico right now has some quarantine, so they're not quite ready, but you certainly can be ready when they are by going to their website, southwestnewmexico.org, and begin your planning for your trip to Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. There you'll find all sorts of information about where to stay and so many recreation opportunities. Jim Nintzel and Dylan Smith, Jim from the Tucson Weekly and Dylan from TucsonSentinel.com, are on our live lines, which are sponsored by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. Dylan and Jim, we don't know if Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden or President Trump will win the White House, but it appears the biggest loser are the pollsters for a second straight presidential election, as President Trump outperformed many of the public opinion surveys once again. And we'll be going into this a little deeper on Friday with Dr. Kate Kensky of the University of Arizona, well-known political observer. But some of your thoughts, Dylan Smith.
Well, first off, Kensky's a genius at this, so I would defer to her expertise. And I've had a number of conversations with her about the polls over the last month or so. And it's not so much that the polls are wrong, it's that we as journalists in the main don't do a good job of explaining them. And then the general public takes them as predictions rather than measurements. And, you know, all that together adds up to a not great perception. Really, what we should be doing with polls is presenting them as ranges rather than specific point numbers. When you say somebody's leading by 2%, but there's a margin of error of 4%, that doesn't really mean they're leading. It means maybe they're leading by a little bit. We should be talking about that as, you know, a range of possibilities, which is, you know, what polls actually are.
Jim Nintzel, we've put so much stock in the polls, and as Dylan rightly points out, really just kind of a snapshot. And the Trump people don't trust pollsters. That's a problem.
Well, the Trump people don't trust pollsters or the media or Democrats or the deep state or, you know, the list goes on. How that said, you know, I think I'd never. Let's throw that one in. You know, I'd never seen so many polls of Arizona as we saw this year with the presidential race. And they were, and the U.S. Senate race, and they were wildly divergent. You know, they sometimes Mark Kelly had a 10-point lead, and sometimes he had a 2-point lead. You know, it was that's where the whole averaging thing comes in. That aggregation sites like 538 or Real Clear Politics try to do to try to get a better sense of things by looking at all the different polls and averaging them together and weighing the reliability of the pollster and all the rest of
You have to look at some of the other things that are being measured by a poll to assess just how reliable you think the entire thing was. Like there was an ABC News, Washington Post Senate poll in Arizona that had Mark Kelly up by 11 points or something like that. But also in that poll, they found that 64% of people intended to cast their ballot early.
Hmm.
Which tells you they measured something completely wrong, because that would be far less than we've seen in previous elections with people casting their ballots early, where it's been 70%+. And this time around, we certainly saw more people than that cast their ballots early and knew that was going to happen. So that was a poll to just, I think, you know, completely discount, because they talked to people who were not reflective of our electorate.
Guys,
and we saw a similar. Oh, go on.
I was just going to shift gears here because we're quickly running out of time, and I think there are a couple of important changes that are going to be coming. The Pima County or the Pima School Board TUSD will have 3 new members. And I also want to get back to the Board of Supervisors. Allie Miller was really kind of the heart and soul of the Republican resistance, the philosophical resistance on that board to Chuck Huckleberry and the 3-member board majority. That's going to change right now. That dynamic is going to be fascinating to watch, Dylan and Jim.
Well, certainly, you will see. Steve Christie is conservative and will be a watchdog. It won't be one party rule, assuming he holds up. What I think is just as you were saying about TOSD, the Pima County Board of Supervisors is going to have 3 new members, some of them, you know, with considerably more political experience, but they will be new to this gig and new to a whole lot of the details that are involved and have a pretty steep learning curve.
Jim?
Yeah, and you know, they're also you'll see different alliances develop along different issues with this new Board of Supervisors. Well, one of the things I found interesting about this, I recall listening to an ad from Steve Spain as I was driving around, and it really focused on Chuck Huckleberry, the county administrator. And it struck me that, you know, he wasn't even focusing on his opponent so much in that race as he was on the evils of Chuck Huckleberry. And the way that Huckleberry has become a boogeyman in this community among certain folks is kind of astonishing, in that you don't hear people complaining about Mike Ortega over at the city of Tucson. You know, they complain about Regina Romero. And that's in itself kind of a fascinating thing about how much people have decided that Chuck Huckleberry is the enemy, whereas I think the vast majority of people in this community don't even know who Chuck Huckleberry is. And that's I think an interesting phenomenon we've seen happen. And I don't think that particular campaign route serves Steve Spain very well.
And Mr. Huckleberry's contract is coming up in January, and I expect he will be renewed if he chooses to go again for another couple of years, and I don't see any reason why he would not. I know he loves the job, so I expect him to be around for a while, Dylan.
I think there's a pretty good likelihood that he's going to at least want to see through some of the current issues that are going on, you know, with the pandemic and its medium-term repercussions for our economy, wanting to maybe provide a little bit of stability and administration for all these new folks coming in. I was just now running down the list, and you guys can correct me if I'm wrong, but it looks like just about every county office is going to be occupied by somebody new, if not brand new. If Chris Nanos holds on to return to his seat, that would be a change, but somebody who's been in the job before. And then we have Dustin Williams, who was unopposed as the county superintendent of schools, but everything else is changing.
Yeah, that's
except for Bronson and Christie, the two incumbents on the board. Everybody else will be new.
Yeah, that sheriff's race.
Am I wrong?
The sheriff's race was a fascinating one too. I mean, Napier did get a lot of endorsements, but people seem to want to go straight ticket this time, didn't they?
It seems that way, and I think Dylan's right. We are going to see, even though people went straight ticket, a whole lot of new faces and new approaches and learning curves in a lot of these offices in the upcoming year.
Dylan, a final word. Just a couple seconds left.
I think it's going to be, a very interesting to see how all these new folks tackle their jobs.
Jim, final word.
Same here. I am looking forward to seeing what happens here. I'm honestly going to miss F.Ann Rodriguez a lot.
Yes.
A super election administrator, and this, even in this really hard, difficult cycle this last time, everything was handled smoothly, and you haven't heard a lot of complaints.
All right, Jim Nintzel from The Weekly, Dylan Smith, TucsonSentinel.com. Gentlemen, thank you very much. I hope the rest of your day is a good one. Thanks.
You too. Everybody take care.
Thanks a lot. All right, the Buckmaster Show and the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Our live line guests appear courtesy of Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. That's going to do it for the post-election edition of the Buckmaster Show. And again, Friday, we'll take a deep dive into the pollsters with Dr. Kate Kensky from the University of Arizona. And hopefully by tomorrow at this time, we will know a lot more about the national scene and here in Arizona as well. Stay safe, everybody. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.